Patty Pigskin with Gary Somerville in association with DraftKings.
Hello there and welcome to episode 66 of Patty Pigskin. I'm Gary Somerville and happy new year to you. I hope you had a great new year celebrating the beginning of 2020, and I hope you had a great holiday period. So whatever religion you are, whatever holiday you are celebrating, I hope you had a good one. And it's a great week because the Patriots lost. So happy fucking days. 31 NFL fan bases are absolutely fucking delighted this week. A lot of sad faces in Boston, and it's absolutely wonderful. I have Jared in with me this week. It's been a while since he's been on. We're going to chat about the games that just happened over the weekend. That's happening this week. The wild card round. As you saw from our pick'em panel, we did absolutely shy. There was a few upsets there all around in the four games. We're going to chat about those, what we taught them. We're also going to be talking about the coaching changes that have happened this week. There's a few new head coaching positions that have been filled. One or two at time of going to press here are still open, but the majority of them have been filled. And we're also going to talk about Tom Brady. You know, he's a Boston man, well, Californian man living in Boston. We don't know if he's going to play for the Patriots. I think he said he's coming back in an Instagram post. We don't know if it's going to be with the Pats. It could be with another team. Who knows? He's going to be an unrestricted free agent. He's owed a bit of money. He's always taking a bit less money. So we're going to chat about what we think is going to happen to the GOAT TB12 on this week's episode of Paddy Pigskin. Say congratulations. Work so hard, forgot how to vacation. They ain't never had the dedication. People hate and say we changing, look, we made it. Yeah, we made it. Our episode 66 player dedication is Ray Nitschke, middle linebacker, Green Bay Packers legend. He was born in Elwood Park, Illinois in 1936. He lost both his parents actually as a kid, which gave him the ferocious rage at which he played in a variety of different positions at a high school level in Proviso High School in Maywood. He went on to play college ball in the University of Illinois, but he was prone to a bit of drinking, smoking and fighting anybody at any time, but eventually found his calling as one of the nation's top linebackers at the college level. He was drafted in the third round, pick 36 of the 1958 NFL draft by the Green Bay Packers. And he played an illustrious 15-year career with the Packers, despite growing up as a Chicago Bears fan. And he was part of the legendary Vince Lombardi teams of the 60s and won two Super Bowl rings. He won his first in Super Bowl I, a 35-10 victory over the Chiefs. And the following year, he did it again, Super Bowl II, when they won 33-14 over the Raiders. And he also won three NFL championships prior to the merger. He was also voted two-time first-team All-Pro, and he got five second-team All-Pro nods. So quite a very good career there as a Packer. And further accolades, NFL 75th anniversary all-time team. He's part of the 1960s All-Decade team. He's in the Packers Hall of Fame. They retired his number 66 number, and he was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 1978. So episode 66 is dedicated to Ray Nitschke, middle linebacker of the Green Bay Packers. The regular season is over, but your fantasy season doesn't have to be. With the start of the playoffs last week and coming into divisional round, you can still get your fantasy fix with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy football. If you've never played before, how dare you, first of all, there's even more good news. New users can play for $1 million this weekend. You draft your lineup, feel the sweat like never before. Every run, throw, catch, me and Mar with a DraftKings lineup on the line. Nothing adds to the sweat of watching the game quite like having a shot at $1 million. And be sure to check out the newest game, Flash Draft. You can actually draft a new team for a single quarter of live football. So you made a ball to your first team, you can always draft a new team for the second half and have a crack at the cash. So download the DraftKings app now and use promo code Paddy, which will also get you a free entry when you sign up. New users enter promo code Paddy, P-A-D-D-Y, at sign up and play for your shot at the $1 million, yes, $1 million, top prize. Promo code Paddy and play for that sweet, sweet cash money. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. What goes on?
jagger, not sagging. Brother backwards, I'ma leave it at that. Daddy got nothing to do with rap. Check the facts, expose those cats. Who pose as heroes, take advantage of blacks. The government's gangsters will cut the crap. A war going on, so where y'all at? Fight the power, cause great responsibility. Ask the police, but who's stopping you from killing me? This ass is fiascos, a loop by P.E. If it's I instead of we believe in TV. Bitches, this new thing about snitches. Watch the masses move as the masses switches. System distant, but barely missed her. My soul intends to save my brothers and sisters. Get up!
So I have Jer here with me. How's it going, Jer? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to yourself as well.
How was the holidays and all that back home? You were there, I was stuck here.
Yeah, it was good. It felt long, but didn't feel long at the same time. Especially when you got to split it between two counties.
But
good to be back, you know. A few drinks at Christmas Eve always goes down a treat. And then a couple of chippers.
As you do.
They're not over here, so.
Chippers in Dublin or chippers in Donegal?
Donegal,
yeah.
More bang for your buck there.
Yeah, you were saying that you get like, what is it, 1 1/4 battered sausages for the price of one, or 1 1/2 or something like that?
Basically two in the portion, but like,
yeah.
Yeah, it was like 1 1/2 Dublin sizes.
Just can't beat, you know, battered sausage and chips.
Yeah, malt vinegar and then salt, you know.
Dripping out the bottom of the bag. The arse has been falling out of the bag. And chocolate, of course.
Yeah, a couple of the old celebrations or heroes boxes. They're a bit light this year, which is kind of disappointing, so that's why I'm justifying eating more than usual.
Yeah.
Box-wise, but
Mammy Somerville sent over a nice big care package there. There's actually a few roses left. I think I texted there. I was like literally scraping the bottom of the barrel by eating the golden barrels were like the last ones. I think there's one or two fudges left, but all the good ones were snapped up fairly fast. But yeah, you had all the good stuff while you were home anyway.
All the good stuff, you know, back now. It was good to get back here as well, you know.
Yeah.
Go back. Yeah, this is our home now, I suppose. You know? So it's good to get back to reality. I'm going to have my mind over there, you know, at times.
For the purpose of this recording, because we haven't got any fancy Joe Rogan type video production or anything, actually cooked you up a little TB12 smoothie there before we came on. You've been knocking it back over the past half hour or something.
Very, very, very tasteful. Nearly like Tom Brady's tears on Saturday night. You know?
Which is the secret ingredient. I told you all but one of the ingredients when I was making it. That is the secret one. There's no shortage of Patriot tears here this week. So
Giselle's tears were in it.
So if anybody is actually interested in making one of these, I have to say it is very good. So we will give you the ingredients. It is frozen blueberries, hemp milk, almond butter, protein powder. I just have some chocolate whey, smooth chocolate from Protein, My Protein. If you just want to sponsor this podcast, by the way, My Protein UK, wouldn't go amiss. A little free bag of protein here and there. There's also hemp seeds, chia seeds. I think I have everything in there, do I?
Yeah.
Have I named everything?
Yeah.
And then the tears. And then you lash it in a blender there. And yeah, it's about 600 calories and about 30-40 grams of protein.
Mm-hmm.
Just depends on how much you throw in there. But yeah, it's very nice. Oh, the walnuts.
Oh, the crushed walnuts.
Yeah, so there is a bit of a crunchiness to it. There's crushed walnuts in there as well. So yeah, tasty. Does the job. Kind of keeps the hunger away for a few hours anyway.
That it does.
Right, we will chat about the wild card weekend games. Mm-hmm. And we did fairly shy. We got 1 out of 4.
Really?
Yeah.
Not bad.
The only one we got was the Seahawks. Yeah. Because we both had Bills and they fucking blew it. We both had, I think everybody and our mother had the Saints winning at home. They were 7.5 point favourites.
Yeah.
We also played a safe. All week we were saying the Titans have a chance, but we just couldn't count out the Patriots at home in Foxborough. Man. We've learned our lesson.
Which is crazy because tickets were dirt cheap for that game as well. They were $116 you could get them for before.
Because of the weather as well. Fees. It was starting, like, as we know, like the snow was starting to come down and the weather was a bit shit. And it didn't really come down in the end.
It was a bit of rain, if even, you know.
Yeah.
But it would have been good to see Tom Brady's last game.
Well, we'll get into that later on in the second half. So we'll start off Bills, Texans. Bills 19, Texans 22. Interesting enough, the spread in Vegas was 2.5 points in favor.
Really?
The Texans were 2.5 point favorites. So they had a spot on, even though I had to go to overtime. But geez, the Texans looked very bad in the first half, didn't they?
But that's
just dead in the water,
consecutive
really.
Years now. I think last year against the 13-0 down or something at halftime.
Something like that, yeah.
And they were 21 down last year to the Colts.
Yeah.
So two seasons had been 34-0 at halftime.
Just slow getting out of the blocks, it seems. But they had Deshaun Watson. Now, in fairness, the Bills' defense has been fucking top five all year. So you're kind of expecting that they were going to disrupt. But Jesus, they really had, like, the offense was stalling all over the place.
Yeah, the Texans just really couldn't seem to get going. Like, DeAndre Hopkins was 0 yards on the catches.
Which, the half, when they played him,
just went nuts.
And you had it, in fairness, Tre'Davious White has been, like, top-level corner. And they were sparring a little bit, I think, in the build-up to the game, because they played early on in the season. And I think Nuke had, like, one or two catches or something. He didn't have that made or so. But
the old telltale, you know, you gotta get sevens when you get to the red zone. You can't be settling for threes.
Yeah, they just blew too many chances, and then it came back to haunt them. But what about the little Buffalo special? Fucking John Brown just floating it up, and Allen took a shot there at the end. Like, they went for his legs and they went to try and clean him out of it.
He did flip,
but the Bills, man, they're just cursed, it seems.
But who do you think needed to win more? Bill O'Brien and the Texans, or Sean McDermott and the Bills?
I think, just because Bill O'Brien has been there and he hasn't really done that, and with the fact that they've been to the playoffs.
He's like doing another Marvin Lewis there, you know, never to the playoffs.
Yeah. Like Sean McDermott as well. True, yeah. Like, if you're getting to the playoffs and you're losing every year in one game, like, eventually there's going to be changes there. But he's doing a good job, like, winning the division more often than not.
Yeah, 2 years in a row now. But I suppose, like, the Jags have been very disappointing the last 2 years, and luckily even the Colts.
Mm. I think J.J. Watt as well. Having J.J. Watt seemed to, like, spark them a little bit, you know.
For situational plays. But then, you know, if Tannehill had come in earlier in the season,
yeah,
they mightn't have won that division.
True, yeah. But he did pop that magic there in the second half. Like, that play to take it all the way up and kick the winning field goal. Like, I think it was Matt Milano, and it could have been one of the defensive linemen. The way he just popped and spun off the two of them and completed that pass was unreal.
They both seemed to hit him but not wrap him.
Yeah, they were just going to blow him up. Like,
the old, you got to wrap. Defensive training there, you know, was lacking.
No farm tackling at all.
No, none at all. Just aren't grabbing in, grab balls or whatever. In that case, just didn't grab anything.
And they're going to get Will Fuller back now for the next round, which is
when he's on the field.
Yeah, because he's such boom or bust, like.
Yeah, he's just always injured. I don't know what you do, because it's always his groin.
Mm. And hamstring. He's had hamstring trouble too. Yeah.
So you just thought, like, what are they going to do when his contract ends? You know, because you're getting him once every four games.
Yeah. But in that one game, he has...
opens up the field for everyone, so...
Like, in that one game, he can literally put up, like, 150 yards and two touchdowns.
Yeah.
Like, but he's just so boom or bust. And you don't know when that groin or when that hamstring is going to go. And then a team... If he's gone, like, a team can just focus on Hopkins. And, you know, as we've seen now, like... We'll get into it later, but, like, they were double covering Michael Thomas. And he didn't get into the end zone. And, like, Edelman, teams have been getting boys there, double covering him. So... You know, if you're down to one receiver that's doing it all, a team can very easily take away that weapon. So be interesting to see how much to get out of Will Fuller anyway. The second game in the AFC wild card round, the New England Patriots lost to the Tennessee Titans 13-20, with some of those points being the garbage time pick six for TB12. I just have two words: Derrick Henry. Like, basically the offense was Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
182 yards, I think it was, on the ground.
Yeah,
and then 204, I believe, from scrimmage. So he's just an absolute beast. Like, he's really, what would you say, top three running back now? Like, he won the Russian title. So
he was, like, number one this year. He was.
Yeah.
Especially because they didn't really get going until four or five games in.
Yeah. And that offensive line, to be fair, is they've got some ballers.
They needed Taylor Lewan back as well. He was suspended for the first four games.
Yeah.
But no, just when you think about it, you're sitting down, you're like, oh, Tannehill had a good game. And then you actually sit down and analyze it. He threw 9 passes for 72 yards. And the biggest one was 19 yards.
The pick, yeah. But that, to be fair, that tore down conversion to the third string tight end who... See, there was so many little omens about this game where I was like, it's just written that the Titans are going to win. One of them was that winter storm that was supposed to be floating around was actually called Storm Henry.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay, this doesn't bode well. And then it was like Vrabel. And then it was the fact that a former Pats coach knocked them into this game to face another former Patriots guy, because Flores sent them down into the wild card. I'm just like, oh, there's just a lot of things going on. There's so many former Patriots there. You got Deion Lewis, you've got Logan Ryan, who ended up getting the pick six at the end. I was like, oh, there's just a lot of things going on. And then that third string tight end, as a Harvard man, I'm like, mm-hmm. Jesus, of all the things to go on here, it's just all those little Patriot connections.
I did kind of get a little chubby. Knowing Vrabel was just wasting
time. Yeah.
Because Belichick done it to the Jets.
Absolutely. Yeah. And when Bill did it, he had the little smirk on his face. I'm like, well, you know, when we were watching the game, I was like, Vrabel's only doing what Bill did.
Yeah.
And to be fair, like, Vrabel actually could have done it once or twice more because one of the Patriots' faults started.
He did, yeah.
And that resets the clock so you can do another two in a row then.
Isn't there some caveat where once it goes below 5 minutes, the clock stops running?
I think something like that, yeah. And I think when the Patriots did it, I think that took it below five. Mm-hmm. But if there was like a minute left, if there was a minute before it got to five, he could have done it another two times. Yeah. Well, Bill was going fucking mental. I'm like, well, Bill, you did it fucking against the Jets a few weeks ago. I think it was Brandon Bolden who was on the punt team. He stepped back and he caused a false start.
Such a fall. Like Brady's last two postseason games, 26 points, no touchdowns.
Mm. Age catching up with him.
Yeah, it's just one of those, I don't know, like, you sit around these fans, you know, the running game sucks. Same player you had last year.
But they had Isaiah Wynn pretty much for the second half of the year this year. You know, they had Trent Brown.
I get that their line was banged up a bit.
Yeah. Well, they didn't have their center either, you know.
No. Everything was banged up, but
it's a war of attrition, isn't it?
War of attrition. And they just, again, I hear the people talking about it. If this is the first real rebuild you have to do in 20 years, it's not a bad fucking 20 years, you know.
Spoiled with so much success over the years. The turning point, though, really was when they stuffed them on the goal line. They had like three downs to get a few yards and they stuffed them and then they settled for the field goal and then the Titans went down and scored a touchdown. Rode Henry for 75 yards.
That was their first touchdown, wasn't it? Because the Patriots got a TD and then they went down the field and got their one. I think the real turning point was that third down conversion from Tannehill.
Huge.
Back to your one about the run, I just stretched left three plays.
Yeah.
It was just no innovation there.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got probably the best QB sneaker in the game.
Yeah.
And you
know.
Stretch left three times.
Yeah.
And play action could have been useful there.
Yeah, I was screaming, like, just as a neutral watching it. I was like screaming, I'm like, why is there no play action here?
And I don't know what college bowl game, it was one of the lower bowl games, it wasn't one of the top bowl games. But they're on the 1 yard line, the QB was under center, and they had a fullback behind the QB and a running back behind the fullback. And the QB done a sneak, and the fullback came flying in behind to push him forward, and the running back came in behind the fullback.
Like a rolling ball almost,
you know,
yeah.
It's like he just couldn't do that. You know, he's stretched left three times, just, and the third one was third and three, and it got stuffed.
Well, like you look around, and like, in fairness, the defense did their job for the most part.
Yeah.
Like, because that, the pick six wasn't on the Pats defense, it was the offense that gave that play up. But like, you look around at the weapons Tom, or should I say, the lack of weapons Tom had, like his receiving core, Edelman, who's been, by all accounts, beaten, you know, battling injuries all year, and now teams are double covering him. And like the Titans played it very well. They were, you know, taken away. Like we watch Edelman, you know, more often than not. And he's so good at, he's just a really good zone coverage reader where he finds the soft spot and that's where he does the damage, whether it's on drags or whether he's whipping out to the sideline when Dorsett has like driven the corner back down the field. And now this time they had him bracketed, so he couldn't do the over the middle stuff.
He got the TD though, you know?
Yeah, but that was like a jet sweep, yeah. But like in coverage, they just seem to have him boxed off really well. How often have I been saying, like, I don't know why they don't just double Edelman and jam him?
Teams do try to do it, but a healthy Edelman still finds the little gaps.
True, yeah.
You know, and he just needs the ball at 3 yards and he takes it another 7 yards.
Yeah. But I think like you look around the lack of chemistry because you had N'Keal Harry who was out for half of the year.
Yeah.
You had Sanu who was late to the system. You had Dorsett who seems to be fucking MIA.
Mm.
And then you had Jacoby Myers who was like an undrafted guy.
I just don't get it. Like, is Matthew Slater that bad of a wide receiver that all these people are starting above him? Because he really gave them as a wide receiver.
I know.
He's just a special team.
Yeah.
Ace.
Yeah, I don't.
Is he that bad that these guys?
I don't know. Maybe he just doesn't practice the art of running routes. He just
possibly,
like, practices special teams. And then you look at the tight end position. Like, I think coming into the postseason, they were like ranked second last or last at completions to tight ends all year.
Yeah.
And you look at like when they had Gronk, they seem to be throwing the tight ends all the time.
Well, yeah, again, Gronk done one thing last year in the Super Bowl and caught that big play.
Yeah.
Wasn't there the Falcons game, though, when they came from 28-3 down? But
yeah.
Again, they got rid of 7-11. They got rid of Amendola.
Yeah. I think it was just Tom having two. Like, when the chips were down and shit was going wrong, he always had two reliable options.
But their screen game seemed to be working well. I don't know why they didn't use it more.
Yeah.
They only done like 3 or 4 times maybe the whole game.
Mm.
And again, some teams would go, that's about the number of screens you might run in a game. But again, they used a lot of their trick plays against teams during the regular season, so I don't think anything was going to be surprising.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, they didn't really, you know, some of their trick plays just didn't come. Well, I don't think they pulled off any trick plays apart from the jet, which was pretty smart, like making Julian Edelman, you know, make the defense think that he's in the wrong position and now you're over there and then just give him the ball. Pretty smart. But anyway, fair play to the Titans.
Yeah.
They're fucking red hot at the moment. Like, I wouldn't want to be. I know they're playing the Ravens and all, but you know what happens when you're a 6 seed and you're red hot coming in there? Like,
you got to stop Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
A great birthday present for him on Saturday to beat the Patriots.
To be fair, though, the Pats did, like, they did adjust as you would expect. Bill Belichick and Gerard Mayo.
And we were like, Titans are blowing their chances. Yeah. They're not getting scores.
Because they were just loading the box and trying to force Tannehill to beat.
He red zone once in the second half.
So they did. Like, I think he had, it was 108 yards. I think 92 or 96 of them were like in the first quarter. I was like, Jesus Christ.
What they're going to have to do, though, is you got to get your field goal kicker kicking during the week. I don't know what you're doing. Like, you're afraid to send them out there.
Yeah.
The Ravens are going to be putting up points. You're going to need to stay in touch with them as best you can. So.
Because Ryan Succop is on IR, right? Because Ryan Succop is the starting kicker for the Titans.
Really?
And he's yeah, coach, yeah. So who was actually Mr. Irrelevant. He's still in the league, so fair play to him. Chiefs picked him, I don't know, 2012 or something like that it was. So just goes to show, you can be Mr. Irrelevant and still be in the league for a few years. This game, I was actually out on the golf course, so I didn't really see much of this.
Yeah.
You were kind of relaying me all the information. And it was the Vikings, for the second time in 3 years, beating the Saints in overtime, 26-20. What do you think of that game?
So again, I say about half of it is what I seen.
Yeah.
You know, I was out doing some errands, again, trying to get back for the Eagles game.
Jim Town Laundry.
I'm sitting there at the start of the game, and then Thielen gets the second play. He fumbles it, and they get it back to like the 30-yard line.
You text me saying Jack Rabbit's out there making a play. I was like, would you fuck off?
Well, the first play,
Giants reject.
They give away a holding call. And then the second play, he causes a fumble.
Just that's like, the Jekyll and Hyde of Jackrabbit. Yeah.
I just thought once they were like the fumble return, I was like, it's going to be a long day for the Vikings, and they made the Saints settle for a three.
Mm.
And that's all the Saints seemed to be doing, was selling for threes. And if they didn't have Taysom Hill,
yeah,
I don't think they would have scored.
What a pickup he is.
He threw the ball,
yeah,
he ran the ball, and then he led a block for Kamara.
He's a fucking animal. He is, you know? He had 50 passing yards, 50 rushing yards, and 25 receiving yards on a touchdown. What a fucking stat line.
Just unreal. That was the actual, I think it's the first time that Drew Brees has fumbled this season.
Really?
And they've never fumbled more than once in a game this season. They're one of the least turnover fumbling teams in the league.
Is that just because
they have two turnovers in this game?
Is it just because they pass so much? Because even like Kamara as a running back, like they pass a lot. To Kamara.
They haven't actually passed a lot to him this year.
Right. But like in general, is that just because they pass a lot? So they don't, it's not traditional running the ball.
Really good offensive line, two great tackles.
Yeah. They've done very well, yeah.
You got Kamara blocking, smart running back, he's there.
Yeah.
And you know, Michael Thomas, you got some good
doesn't fucking drop anything.
Need to drop it. Yeah. Brees is a smart QB. And when he was out, Teddy Bridgewater was leading as well. He's just been smart. They weren't putting him in plays where he could cause turnovers. Yeah. But yeah, they just, I don't know, like when you the credit Danielle Hunter and Everson Griffin came out with, said they thanked the Falcons, you know, was the Falcons probably loving it now, you know, Saints going out and them getting credit, was they watched how their D-line got the pressure to Brees a few weeks beforehand.
Yeah.
And the two of them really didn't spend time on the edge, they went straight up the middle.
Yeah.
And that's where
the damage.
The line was a bit susceptible, and they just tore the shit out of them up there.
I think it was Danielle Hunter that did a spin move on one of the guards there. Oh my god! I think it could have been on Baldy's breakdown or something like that. Wow. Fucking hell!
Those hips just boom, boom, back.
Unbelievable! The guard was like, "What the fuck just happened?"
So yeah, like I suppose on that's the Saints side of the ball again. They could have had some things like, you know, as I text you, if this play counts, and then we've seen the Cook's knee went down, he popped the ball up, you know, they ran in for a TD. You got to give credit to, I suppose, the Vikings. You know, they came with the game plan. They executed it.
And they're kind of taking some of the pressure off Cousins now, because Dalvin Cook has emerged as such a good running back after his ACL tear. Like, you don't know how they're going to come back.
You know, like, I know everybody says, you know, Cousins struggles in the, when the bright lights come on in the main games. Their stats in those games are amazing.
Mm.
You know, he's just kind of a Washington team, for God's sake.
True.
They just haven't been able to see games through the line. But two of his best throws ever, to Thielen and then to Rudolph. Now, again, I did hear a few.
Yeah, let's discuss the whole Rudolph catch. Like, it looked to me, they were both at it a little bit. They were both fighting. There was some sort of extension near the end there.
Difference when the guy's 6'5", 40 pounds, you probably got a 5'11", 190 DB, you know, he's got 50 pounds on him nearly. But it's the irony of the rule that was brought in for the Saints.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
And just, they go out again by it.
They just can't catch a break.
3 years in a row, they've been eliminated by walk-off.
Unreal, isn't it? And now they have no quarterbacks currently under contract. So what do you think is going to happen there? Do you think Breeze is going to call it a day? Or, like, he's gone out now 3 years in a row and such heartbreaking.
The thing is, though, he's still talented, but like Brady, the zips come off the ball a bit.
Mm.
Brady's zip might be a little bit more there, but Brady's elbow is good 1 week, is bad the next week. Throwing outside the numbers is tougher for him.
He's thankful that he has Michael Thomas, whose catch radius is off the fucking charts.
Breaking records this year.
Unreal.
You probably don't take Taysom Hill as your sole QB for the year. Teddy Bridgewater, he's probably going to command some money now.
Yeah.
If you can make it work with him. But I think Breeze will be back. I'll be shocked if he retires.
Yeah.
Because he's not led anything to Togo. He's not selling his house or anything
like New Orleans. And they went 13-3, you know. And they have the weapons there. They've got, like, Thomas Cook.
And they were in some shootouts. Like, could have easily beaten the Niners in that shootout of a game, you know. And suddenly they're 14-2.
How much is he going to command?
They got that $230 million, you know.
Yeah, so it's got to be more than that then.
I don't think it'll be more. I think they might do like a similar 2-50 or 3-60.
Yeah.
And try and spread the money out, because they're not going to pay him $30 million a year.
Yeah.
On a man that's in decline, you know. Like, bear in mind, they went undefeated with Bridgewater.
How many yards did he throw for this year? Like, if you prorate it, it was easily over 4,000, right? Because he was out for those few games with the thumb injury, so. But Michael Thomas. Yeah. Because they got Latavius Murray hasn't really been producing what Ingram has been, and he's still doing great. Yeah. The top rushing attack in the Ravens. It's funny, like, you look at the stats there, and they're about 900 yards ahead of everybody else. Like, everybody else is kind of grouped together, but then the Ravens, 900 yards more. And if you never watched football and you didn't, you're probably like, what the fuck? Like, why are they so far ahead of everybody? And then you watch the Ravens play and you see Lamar doing Lamar. You're like, that's why.
Well, still up for 82 yards passing, 600 yards rushing. Okay, you're not a QB. Okay.
And then the last game was, unfortunately, your Eagles went down. Oddly enough, the same score as week 12. 17-9. The Seahawks 8-1 on the road. Unbelievable. Spoofers. Just the injuries. Obviously, the main one being Carson went down with a head injury, but just like so many injuries, it was a matter of time probably before they just caught up on the Eagles. You know, but
you're down to like
the bare bones.
Receivers that were on practice squads of different teams throughout the year.
And in the AAF, for fuck's sake, the guy I saw in San Antonio all those months ago, Greg Ward Jr.
You've got your big offseason defensive tackle, and Malik Jackson's gone after the first game. Your big offseason wide receiver, and Sean Jackson's gone after two plays in the second game. Your right tackle is down. Your right guard is down. The Pro Bowl guard is gone. You got back in. Your left tackle's 50 years of age, still wants to play. You got your number one tight end who's on a lacerated liver.
That was, I don't know how, I don't know how the fuck he was cleared to play that game.
So,
like, if he took a shot there, he could have actually died. Like,
yeah, so
that was just questionable.
Your DBs are shite as well. So it's just a really bad year for injuries. And then
it really was.
You get your QB knocked out of the game on a cheap shot. And a play that the guy should have been ejected. What makes matters worse is he was so dominant in that game and caused so, like, I know he 5 tackles, 1 sack, but he fucked up so many plays for other people to make tackles.
Which don't show up on the stat line, as we all know.
Stat line. It's just like, if he was a non-factor, then you go, okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
He was such a factor in that game.
Fair play to McCown. He did step in and do an admirable job. Eighteen for 24, 174 yards. So fair play to him. Like he did what he could, as much as his 40-year-old frame would allow. You know.
Yeah.
But that crazy stat that we saw during the week, I think it was in a graphic that this is how long he's around. So he handed off to Emmett Smith for his last touchdown. He threw Larry Fitz's first touchdown pass.
Wow.
And then he played in the playoffs for the first time at 40 years of age. Having been in the NFL for 17 years, 40 years of age. But the fact that he handed off to Emmitt Smith for his last, threw to Larry Fitz for his first, I was like, my fucking brain can't handle this right now.
When we took him at the start of the year, he was a high school football coach.
Yeah, he just said, he just came back for the year.
They convinced him to come back.
Unbelievable. We won't give our picks because I need to think about them more, because I don't want to go 1-3 again.
I'm picking them now, and then suddenly you find somebody's injured.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So we'll stick them up on the graphic. Right, we'll move on to the coaching changes.
Yeah.
It's been an interesting week, or an interesting few weeks, because as we know now, like, teams are all scrambling to get guys, and I'm not sure I agree with coaches that are still in the hunt in the playoffs, having to devote time to interview.
I was shocked that, because they were talking about some of the coaches that were still in the hunt interviewing this weekend past for Rosen. Like the Niners coach for a team in the East Coast. Like, he's not going to fly from the West Coast to the East Coast when he's trying to prepare a team.
Ah, yeah, they fly to him.
Like, that's a bit fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
But then you see teams that are just snapping people up because they don't even want them to speak to other teams, you know? So I think there really should be a period post.
I really do as well,
But then when you think about it, post-Super Bowl's February, like, these head coaches come in, like, they're working now. Here's the problem is when you start getting these coaches, like, it becomes less time available to find your assistants. It's easy to get the head coaches, the assistants to come with them.
Yeah.
That's where the issue strikes. And then these guys, now they're already looking to the draft, you know?
Well, on free agency as well, because you got in March.
They get their teams and coaching slots filled.
Yeah.
You know? So if you wait post-February, you've lost out on a whole month nearly that they could be doing something.
I just always think it's got to be some sort of distraction, you know, because it's like a job interview. You've got to be like devoting time and effort into preparing for this job interview.
You hear yourself, if you're sitting there as a defensive coordinator, an offensive coordinator, special teams coordinator, and suddenly we're Gary Summerville's being connected with this job, and you're trying to prepare a game plan for a divisional postseason game, you know, in a few days, it has to take your attention away.
Absolutely, yeah. So we both agree there should be some sort of grace period or something like that, Riverboat Ron to the Washington Pro Football Team.
They didn't wait around, did they?
that was the first one. 5-year contract replaces Jay Gruden, who got fired way back in week 5. So they've been in the interim head coaching sphere for a while. Riverboat, he went not as amazing as you would think. 76, 63, and 1.
He won the division a lot. A lot of 9-7 win seasons, you know.
And he also had that monster 15-1 2015 season when they bottled it in the Super Bowl against Peyton and the Broncos. He's already made his mark by saying he's not committed to Dwayne Haskins yet as a starter, that he needs to step up and show leadership before he just hands him the keys to the offense. So I think he also read something like he came into the locker room and there was like a ping pong table around and some other shite, and he basically got it all out of there. He's like, we're here to fucking work and not play around, and that's just him. Like, you know, he's making his mark. He's probably I'm sure he's not like, you know, a really bad person when it comes to that sort of stuff. But
if he got released in week 5, you know, he's got another 11 weeks to watch the Redskins and how shite they're doing. He walks into the dressing room and the ping pong tables and everything, and there's like, come on, guys, you're professional athletes here. You're doing shit. But different if you're winning.
And he is bringing some of his assistants, I was reading there, from Carolina. So I think it was QB coach, maybe wide receivers coach. But he has Jack Del Rio now, is going to be his two defensive guys, interesting enough. So we got defensively minded head coach, and then defensive coordinator.
He invested a lot of draft picks in that defensive line, you know, number ones from Alabama and some of these schools. So. And you've got Ryan Kerrigan there, and you got to see what you can get out of him now.
Yeah.
In the remaining years, he's going to be there, so.
But he has a lot of work to do, though. They are 31st in offense, 27th in defense.
You got to make that team interesting.
Yeah,
you're not even in Washington.
Yeah.
You're outside of Washington, fans just not even going to games. Hopefully him coming in now will start to put butts in seats. But
and Terry McLaurin from Ohio State seems to be kind of giving them a bit of buzz now.
I
like
hate
he's had
to
a
talk about this, considering you just want him to fail because you want the Redskins to fail. They're in your division, you know?
Yeah.
Like, but you don't want a bad division.
He is a baller though, yeah. But you look around the rosters, like there's not that much talent there.
No.
Like we say, all these Alabama guys, but like they just.
What is he doing with Alex Smith?
Yeah, so I was reading there that they might like, because Colt McCoy is probably going to be gone. Case Keenum, I think his contract might be up as well.
Right.
So they might only have Haskins and then Alex Smith if his leg is better. I just would like to see him be able to do something, because that was a fucking bad old leg injury. Yeah. Like, you don't want to see a guy going out like that. Mike McCarthy, the new coach of them boys. Jerry didn't waste any time there.
Another guy you want to see fail?
Yeah. Made him his new head coach. He had a year away from football. And they had the press conference there today. He has enjoyed his year away from football. The fucking size of him.
He did not.
Jesus. He is a big lad. We've got big John McCarthy, but we've also got big Mike McCarthy. He looked fucking huge up at the podium there. I was like, Jesus Christ.
Even those cheeses out in Wisconsin, so he has.
Well, now he's going to be in Texas where everything is 18-ounce steaks and all that sort of stuff. His record obviously was better than Riverboat Ron's. 125 wins, 77 losses, which was 0.618 winning percentage. And he had those 8 consecutive playoff appearances, which
is
pretty good.
That's the big thing. He done the things that Garrett couldn't do, winning the postseason, won the Super Bowl in Jerry World.
Exactly, yeah. I was like, that's a nice little wrinkle there that, you know, that's where you won the Super Bowl, was in Dallas, Texas. So,
you know, he developed, he got Aaron Rodgers at the start of his career, I think. Developed him now to a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
And obviously, Jerry wants that to come in as well for Dak.
So, are they going to pay Dak or what?
He's got to pay someone. And it's going to be Amari Cooper, Dak, or someone else there. You have to pay Dak.
Because they've already paid Zeke, right? So, I think it's down to
Dak what he wants at $40 million a year. Like,
is that what he wants? I thought it was 40. $30 million,
no, he wants 40.
Ah, would you fuck off? Ask me bollocks.
It's everyone, like, every QB gets the deal. Yeah. He wants the bigger deal. Yeah, yeah. You know,
but you've got to have the resume to fucking show it.
The problem is, like, you could have done it 4 games into the season when they were 4-0. And then they went
had him on the hook.
I was like, Grant, just dropping by $1 million a week now. I'm at this rate. But you got to pay someone, you know. But I think you got to come in and make Ezekiel Elliott the number one focal point of that offense.
Yeah.
Like, he had it 1 year with Eddie Lacy, when Eddie Lacy won the rookie of the year rushing record or whatever. And then Eddie Lacy just took the Mike McCarthy diet. You know?
Eating in Wendy's every day.
Be sure that doesn't happen to Ezekiel Elliott, you know. He follows suit.
But he does like to eat, as he shows every time he gets a first down, keep feeding me. But that's such a high-pressure job, because it's like...
It's in Dallas, yeah.
It's in Dallas, the history and prestige of the Cowboys. And you also have Jerry Jones, who seemingly has his fingers in all sorts of pies. Like, came out in that interview and he basically said, if there's any kind of big decisions, like, it's got to be run by me. Like, he seems to have a lot of involvement in everything.
I think that was one of the reasons why he wanted McCarthy. He obviously wanted a head coach that was going to follow suit.
Mm.
I think maybe that's McCarthy as well, you know, because he had to work with the two people at the Packers, because they're a fan-owned club.
Yeah.
You know, so this is Jerry's club. You know, Jerry talked about in his interview that, you know, that when he took over the club, they had the first pick that year, and Troy Aikman was the first pick, you know, just happened to fall right for him at the right time. And he said now they needed a head coach. McCarthy's just sitting there waiting to be picked up by a team, you know, it just fell right for them. So, you know, like, they have a lot of talent there. They do have a Super Bowl talent team there.
A lot of talent, yeah.
You know, and they just all underperform. I think he wants to keep Kellen Moore, but I don't know if that's him being told by Jerry, you need to keep Kellen Moore.
Yeah.
Like, that's just another pet project, like a Jason Garrett, is get Kellen Moore in there.
Well, they were number one on offense, right? The Cowboys. I'm pretty sure they were number one overall on offense.
Dak was looking like a Hall of Famer for the first 5 or 6 weeks, but then it just started to... Jason Garrett again, so it didn't just...
Kellen Moore, I can see Kellen Moore being a head coach sooner rather than later.
He's, you know...
A few more years away, but I can see it happening.
He's not sticking to a stagnant offense, you know. He's looking at the college plays.
Yeah.
And seeing what he can bring in.
Speaking of college, Matt Rhule, new head coach of the Carolina Panthers. So Tuesday was busy. Baylor, former Baylor man, he became the new Panthers head coach. 7 years... $62 million, and I think it's $70 million with incentives or something like that. So he said something a bit contradictory. He said, oh, I knew it was the Panthers was the place for me or something. But yeah, he also called the Giants, apparently, after the Panthers offered him the money. He called the Giants to allow them to match what the Panthers really? Were giving him. So I'm like, if the Panthers was the place for you, what the fuck are you calling the Giants for to see if they'll match the offer, you know? Yeah. But you don't know, like, these are you just don't know if there's 100% truth in them, well, but yeah, that's what I read anyway.
Tuesday, the New York papers had a Monday. I think they had Rule's face on the front of the New York Post and everything as the coach. And the beat writers apparently in New York are pretty close to the newspapers there.
Yeah.
So the information the newspaper are getting is from very credible sources. But the New York Giants, he wasn't their guy. That's who they won. Obviously, that's how I'm trying to save face.
Yeah.
But I didn't know he made a call to them to see if they would match the offer.
So I was reading there earlier on, yeah.
But again, that's a first-time head coach, straight coach. Who the fuck's going to give you a 7-year contract? Like, yeah. You're nearly John Gruden level of 10-year contract.
Yeah, it's.
But,
and Lily, he has the resume or he has the history.
It's funny though, every coaching job that this guy's done, they've sucked in the first year.
Yeah.
But it's the second year onwards is where they start balling out.
Yeah, so Temple, 2-10 in the first year. And he took them the back-to-back 10 win seasons. And Baylor, fucking 1-11 in their first year. Which is just, for a school like Baylor, who, you know, historically has always been pretty decent, 1-11. Then you could see the Rule effect coming in there. They were 7-6.
Mm-hmm.
And then last year, wins.
They had all the penalties as well for a lot of the allegations that went on and everything. And they suffered a lot of recruiting classes. They weren't allowed to recruit and everything. But I heard one interview or something. It was Robbie Anderson. I forget who the other players were.
Oh, yeah.
Temple.
Yeah, yeah.
They said, this guy will change your life. He will change your team, you know? But it's funny, like, when you hear them talk about David Tepper being such a shrewd businessman. You know, he's a hedge fund guy. That they were saying he wasn't leaving that house without a deal.
Mm.
You know, and he's a closer. He's not left Goldman Sachs making billions to set up his own hedge fund for billions.
Yeah, yeah.
And then buy this team.
He just gets
went in there and said, pretty much as a blank check.
You're not fucking leaving this
house. The guy obviously said, this is what's going to need to happen. I need to have full control here.
Yeah.
And you need to give me a contract and not something like the Browns where you're just going to fire coaches every year.
Yeah.
I'm coming in, I'm here to create a culture. And Carolina's a good area. I've been there.
His money goes a long way there, I'd say.
Further. And again, you would love to know where it's whatever. Well, these golf courses. 62 million plus 70. Like, you're throwing in a country club membership there. What are you doing for your family? You know.
But can he play golf, though? He couldn't. He might not be able to hit fucking snow off a rope. But and he's rocking up to these country clubs.
See what they do with Cam Newton.
Yeah. Well, the first thing they should do is make him change the fucking text he uses on Instagram, because it does my nothing. All those symbols he uses. Yeah.
19 million.
Tell him to take those fucking headscarves off as well. Looks like a gobshite. In fairness to Rule, he took Baylor up to like 8th overall they were when they faced Georgia in the Sugar Bowl, so he clearly did a job there in the 2-3 years that he was there. So it'd be interesting to see now if that translates to the NFL level.
A few people I work with saying, oh, worst coaching decision hire in history of the NFL. I'm like, okay, fucking, this kind of guy hasn't even sat in Carolina yet, and you're already saying this. We're talking about it in a couple of years. If it goes to farm, who said they're going to suck next year?
Yeah.
You know, but it's going to be the years after. And the problem is, though, college football is all about recruiting. It's all recruiting.
Oh, yeah, you know, it really is.
You can't recruit here.
Yeah.
You got to pay people here, you know, and then you got to stay under budgets and everything. So it's just going to be interesting.
I'm sure he's going to find creative ways to get CMC the ball anyway.
It's going from Big 12 where it's just offensive football. Defense doesn't exist.
We'll just score 50 every week and that should be enough to win, which is a complete change in philosophy to what they've had with Riverboat Ron for so long. But maybe that's why they're changing directions. We'll finish off with the fourth vacancy that was filled. Of course, my New York Giants, who went with the wrong Patriot in my eyes. I was a bit bummed that they didn't at least chat to Josh McDaniels on the Wednesday today, which they were supposed to do. But Joe Judge went in there Monday night, and apparently they had their man, and that was that. And I think Rule was made aware of that, and he was like, right, I'm going to try and push up the price or whatever and see what happens. But
I think Tepper flew to Waco.
Yeah.
And they were making Rule fly to New York.
Yeah, and he never got on that plane.
Carolina, you need to deal with Tepper. the Giants, you've got to deal with the Maras, yeah, whatever the other owner
Tish,
is.
Steve Tish.
Gettleman, and then there's another guy that does all the contract negotiations. Yeah. So there's four people you got to deal with there.
Too much.
There's just too many people.
Too many cooks spoiling the broth. Yeah.
But as you said, again, he didn't get... I was a bit shocked he didn't even entertain McDaniels. But again,
yeah, me too.
I think he just pissed a lot of people off when he had the job and just pulled out of it. You know?
Understandable. Like, yeah.
There's some things you do and there's some things you don't. You don't accept a job and then pull out of it.
Yeah.
And that's what he did. But it's funny because read a lot of these articles and I've listened to other people and these insiders. Nobody really knew who this Joe Judge guy was, you know? And some of them said, like, feedback from inside the Patriots is this guy. Like, this guy worked for Saban as well.
Mm-hmm.
And Belichick. Yeah. So he's learned from a lot of people.
And when Bill wasn't around, apparently it was Joe Judge was just like kind of the man running the show when he wasn't around. So, which is a lot for a 38-year-old to come in and do what Bill does.
This is the thing, is when you think about it, right? So, you look at he's not an offensive coordinator, he's not a defense, he's not working with the X's and the O's and the Jimmys and the Joes. He's working as a special teams coordinator, and special teams guys run through walls.
Yeah.
And I think that's really what the Giants need, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
Sun's
just going to come in and kick everyone up the hole.
And that's the impression that I got from, you know, reading some of the interviews, that he's a no-nonsense guy. Like, he'll get in there and boot players up the fucking hole, no bother. He'll be like, right, lads, you're here to work, and you're right, like, the Giants do need that. There's a lot of fucking spoofers there that aren't pulling their weight.
At the same time, you know, he's coming to a team with talent, you know, which is a good thing, that he's not going to Carolina. You don't know, is this going to be your, Cam Newton's going to be your QB, who are you going to have? He's coming in here, they've said Daniel Jones the QB of the future, you got Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
You need to fucking start out this offensive line.
Yeah.
And you need to figure out receivers to help Sterling Shepard, because he's getting concussed every two games, and Evan Ingram's there, you know, and then you got to fix up the defense. Here's the thing, I'm hoping you don't know this, and I've got one up on you. But I don't know, like, what articles you've been reading. I haven't seen the nugget. But do you know who the last, because I never read this, the last special teams coordinator to become a head coach in the NFL is?
The last which?
Special teams coordinator to become a head coach.
One of the Harbaughs, but I can't remember which one. So I'm just going to say Jay Harbaugh.
Yes, the one at the Ravens, which I was shocked. I was like, really?
That's such a big jump though, isn't it? Like,
he was a coach when I started watching football, so I never seen him coming to the team.
Yeah.
But yeah, such a...
He's got his work cut out for him though, because they are the worst. They are, was it 12-36 since 2017?
I think they're the worst team. He's in such a media market where the pressure is on from day one.
But like, yeah, he, you know, in my eyes, I just wish they'd chatted to Josh McDaniels. But he does bring a winning culture and a no fucking nonsense. Like, we joke about the Patriot way and all that sort of stuff, but it's fucking successful. At the end of the day, you're in a business of winning and winning Super Bowls.
Yeah.
And the Patriots have done it better than anybody. So he's coming from that culture. He's a disciple of Bill. Traditionally, when coaches leave the Bill Belichick nest, they don't do very well. If you look at a lot of them over the years, they don't really do that well. Like Vrabel, you know, he wasn't a coach there.
No.
He was a player there, so he's a little bit different. If you look at some of the other guys, like, I know Flores is in year one, Patricia, there's a lot of guys throughout the years. But he also has the Saban, you know, he's coming from the Saban tree and the Belichick tree. So those guys are the best at their respective codes of football in college and the pro level. So it'd be interesting to see. I just do wish that they entertained chatting to Josh McDaniels, just to see. Because he's such an innovative offensive coordinator. Like, do you ever watch the Patriots? You're like, they just mix it up so well. Yeah. And like, they keep drives alive. And like, I'm so used to watching the Giants where they do vanilla shit on first and second down, and then they stall a tour down. You watch the Pats, it seems like they're always just driving the field. They find creative ways to move the chains. I fucking hope it's not the Clapper. Because now they're requesting interview permission to talk to him as an offensive coordinator, really? Jason Garrett. Like I said, he'll find me under a bridge.
He was trying to get Kellen Moore to interview with the Giants. And
oh, really? Yeah.
Block it,
oh, yeah.
Which is why he's trying to get him to stay as the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, yeah. Texas under McCarthy. I wouldn't mind Kellen Moore now, I have to say. That one now would be...
What about Wade Phillips? Do you think anybody's going to pick him up as a defensive coordinator?
Yeah. He just has so much experience, yeah. He'll be snapped up.
But his scheme never changes, though.
Yeah.
That's the problem. He doesn't adapt to the scheme.
He can come to New York.
Yeah.
Wouldn't say no. There's definitely worse.
One vacancy out there now.
So the Browns. So, like, you would think, oh, it's a slam dunk, Josh McDaniels, but it doesn't have to be. Yeah. You could look at that Like, he has a lot of talent around and they just need a bit of coaching. Like, he's got two solid running backs.
Well,
if you can keep the egos in check, like, the talent is there.
They're interviewing Jim Schwartz.
Yes, I did read that, yeah. And then McDaniels is Friday. So 2 days, or today if you're listening in Ireland to this podcast.
Two fantastic coaches if you wanted to get either in. You know, I didn't realise Schwartz was so highly thought of, you know. Like, Georgetown degree, so he's very analytical. He's very pro-analytics in the team.
Yeah.
And doing a lot of stuff. And then look how he transcended the Lions.
Yeah, exactly. Didn't he take, was his first year the 0-16 year? Or did he take them after that?
I think he took them after that, right? Stafford's first year.
Yeah, could have been after. I can't remember.
Just turned it into a winning culture there. And since he's left there, yeah, you made a great decision in firing him, lads.
Right, so we'll see what happens there with the Browns. That'll be filled in the next few days. We'll finish up a quick little chat about TB12. So we had that Instagram post today saying that he's returning to football, which...
Yeah.
Like, you'd need to be mad to think that he was going to retire in a fucking pick six in a playoff game. Like,
yeah.
But we just don't know exactly what team. Do you think he's going to be back to the Patriots or another team?
He's very pro at the end of that game. Pro-Patriots, he's got to be back. He's not going to end it like that there. And you let 24 hours by 48 hours while you're listening to the radios here. This is the scenario. I heard Skip Bayless talking, hilarious little fucking thing. He was coming out and saying he reckons, there was one thing he came out and said, he reckons that Belichick tanked this year deliberately to show Brady up so Brady would leave. You know, because he wanted Brady gone. He wanted to go with Garoppolo.
Yeah,
and
draft
made the overriding decision to stick with Brady. But this is the situation. They don't have any QB now. And Brady's basically done.
Stidham.
You know, so he has to look at it and go, Grant, do I stay with the Patriots? It's going to be a rebuilding project on the offense. And on defense, we can mess around with a few things.
Yeah, defense are good. Yeah.
I know people say they were great. Okay, you beat bums for the first 8 games when you made all your records. But you still got a good defense there. It's offense. It's like, you need to get some receivers in. I don't know what the cap's like next year offhand. But you don't really have much
they've got 20. They've got 20 free agents coming up.
You know?
So I'd say they'll have a bit of wiggle around.
Do you think Benoit's a free agent?
Yeah.
And he's a big linebacker you need to keep.
Is Hightower a free agent, or I don't know. Haven't had a look at their free agents.
I just seen, I know Van Noy is, I believe, but again, you got free agents coming up. Who you got to re-sign? If Brady came out the day after the game, or 2 days after, said he wasn't going to take a hometown discount again, you know, is this a, why would
fair
you
enough.
Take a discount?
Yeah.
If he's not going to take one, why would they take one anymore?
Yeah, yeah.
So, and then you got no trade capital, because you give away your second round pick for Mohamed Sanu. Again, some of these players could come good. Like, I hear people saying N'Keal Harry's a write-off now and all this. He's like, you know, he's out for 8 games. He just maybe never just got on track with Brady.
It's a, yeah, exactly. Like, it's such a tough system as well to pick up.
It's probably,
like,
probably is the most complicated system out there.
Yeah.
You know, it's where
not something you can pick
just
up
knows already. Brady. They just know each other, where to be on the plays. I heard people talking about him going to LA Chargers, and you're like, fuck no, there's such a good team out there. And I'm in the boat where I think in the last 3 Super Bowls they've won, I don't think Belichick's gotten any credit for it. It's all been Tom Brady. And this is Tom Brady's made this team the way it is, not Belichick. Where I'm in the reverse, I was like, Belichick builds these teams, but I think they complement each other.
Absolutely.
Whereas I think if Belichick stays with the Patriots, he's got a big rebuild package to go to. Whereas Tom goes to the Chargers, he's got a tasty little team sitting there for a year. They're moving into the SoFi Stadium. They need to overpower the Rams.
They need to sell tickets.
They need somebody big there.
And he's a California kid.
So,
like, if Jimmy G wasn't at the 49ers, fucking slam dunk, keep it going there. His childhood team, you know, Montana is his idol. I'd be like, that's where he's going.
Think about it. Some people saying he could play for another 2-3 years. I don't think he's going to play for another 3 years. Like, 1 week Gisele was good. The next week it's not too good.
Gisele's got to put the foot down sooner or later.
I think the Chargers are at 5, are they?
Yeah, they're picking very early on, yeah.
Here's one. Chargers take 2 out. Redshirt him for the first year. Make sure he's 100%. Bring Brady in.
Jesus.
Sit behind Brady for a year.
What about the Pats take to it?
I saw
a few hashtags today saying tank for fucking Trevor or something like that. It was one of the Fergal Collins, actually. He's a guy that follows the Facebook and the Instagram pages. He's fucking hilarious, and he texted me there the other day with a hashtag tank for Trevor. I was like, oh, here we go.
He's
yeah, he's a Patriots fan, yeah.
No, I would hate seeing him in a Patriots uniform. That would make me annoying. I hate him.
Fucking smashed up Ohio State again. But so, where are you going to hang your hat on Tom Brady playing his craft next year? Because, like, I wouldn't be surprised if he said, do you know what, fuck you, you didn't give me a competitive offense this year. Yeah. And if you're not going to pay me what he feels like you should be worth over the years, I wouldn't blame him for stepping away.
Kraft's saying either hope he plays for the Patriots or he retires. You know.
Which means Kraft's going to pay him to stay with the Pats.
I don't think he will. Because they're not going to pay him $30 million. And
you don't think?
Cut out other
areas. You see, there's all this, like, I've heard, now, I'm not going to name no names, but I've heard a couple of stories from Patriot reporters mm-hmm. that have said, for a few years, there's been a little hush-hush, like, we pay Tommy Boy $20 million, and he gets $20 million in, like, other areas and all that.
And
there's, like, been other stuff, you know, can't confirm or deny, but like
accounts, you know, because the NFL's probably monitoring some things.
It's like, oh, gee, like, you know, Tom goes out to play a few practice rounds out in Brookline Country Club, and there's a little fucking bag of money there sitting on the green, you know.
So I think they're not going to pay him top money. They can't, because he's going to be 42 or 43 years of age.
But even if it's a 1 year deal,
yeah, geez, that's crazy. I think what they would have been smart to do was give him the Drew Brees deal, 2 for $50,
yeah,
keep him under contract this year, not having. Like, this is the first time he's actually not going to be under
ever
contract.
Been an yeah.
So unrestricted. That could piss him off. You know, they didn't give him the team that he needed. That could piss him off. And then he's going to look at the Wizards rebuilding. Fair enough, if they go to the Chargers, they've got to learn a new offense. But I'd rather have to learn a new offense with talent there.
Yeah, yeah.
You think about it, who's the guy? He's got Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, Hunter Henry, Melvin Gordon. The other little guy, those speed
rockers. Austin Eckler.
Austin Eckler. It's a fucking. And he's got a good offensive line as well. And then he's got a good defense on the other side to back
not
it
bad,
up.
Not bad at all.
So.
And like, we were speaking before we went on air about how competitive, like, the Chargers. Like, I saw that graphic where if you take away the last 2 minutes or something of every game this year, the Chargers would have been 12-4. They were, like, there or thereabouts in so many games.
But again, that's, you know, us saying. He could just. Again, his house is up for sale here in Brookline at the minute. So everybody's, oh, he must be leaving. He dropped $6 million today, so they did to try and sell it.
We go Javis. So I saw that the mortgage is $120,000 a month.
$129,000 a month. But when you think about it, like, he's from California. All his family's out there.
Yeah.
All her family's in Brazil. They could adjust themselves here in the East Coast.
Mm.
So, I mean, with Tom's mom being sick before, he probably wants to be closer to her.
Absolutely, yeah.
So why not go to SoCal? You know, it's not that far to where you're from. In comparison to where you are now,
yep.
Get out of this winters now that you go through. You know, again, I know. So
I think he's probably fucked off to Costa Rica. That's what he seems to do.
Saying, "Hey, come on, fucking
yeah, enough is enough." Yeah, yeah.
So I will go with he's not going to be with the Patriots. That's okay. What I'm going to go with.
Just to play devil's advocate, I'm going to say he's going to be with the Pats and he's going to get a decent deal, just 1 year.
So what's decent?
I'd say 25 maybe. 25. And then a little brown envelope drops in his back garden from a fucking drone in the middle of the night. It's like Kraft saying, there you go.
How about $25 million and Tom Brady walks into a massage parlor and takes the envelope off the Here's the extra $6 million you wanted.
Be a fucking small envelope.
So we're coming to the end, I guess.
Coming to the end, alright, yeah.
Monday night, who's got it?
It's just so hard to look past Joe Burrow. I think he's just playing with such a chip on his shoulder. Like, it would have been great, like, even though I'm a Buckeye fan, it would have been such a great storyline for him going up against the Buckeyes,
mm-hmm.
given that he was there. I just think LSU have that too much firepower. Like,
I think they're going to be just that little bit physically bigger than them.
Yeah, and like you see now...
SEC, sometimes you see physically bigger... And some teams...
Like, I don't know how they've been ranked in recruiting class over the last few years, but you see, like, I was watching... We were watching the All-American high school game there, and, like, almost every table where there was a kid committing to a school, there was a fucking LSU hat there. Every table, almost. It was like, they were in the mix.
Especially after this year, everybody. They're looking at it, go, well, she's kind of coming back. So the hats are on the table.
Yeah, yeah.
But this is a big thing, you know. I think Ohio State probably would have been a better team. When we watched that game, I think they were a more complete team. I think Clemson were pretty much, you know, to the QB runs.
Yep.
Option plays. And again, that's on Ohio State for not being able to stop it. but they were very one-dimensional. Mm. He's just a baller, Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
And my concern is he's such an athlete, but you keep doing QB options.
He's going to get popped.
He's going to get fucking popped because he's going against a big team now.
That's my concern for Lamar. Don't want Lamar getting popped because I enjoy watching him do his thing. But it's inevitable when you're such a mobile quarterback, eventually you're going to take a lick or two.
It's funny because when we were texting there, you had the two QBs that were starting at Bryce Young and then DJ, I'm not even trying to pronounce this kid's surname, from St. John Bosco. Both of them, he was flying out on the Sunday. The game was on the Saturday. He was flying out the Sunday to Clemson to start reps on the Monday on the scout team as Joe Burrow for Trevor Lawrence's defense.
Unreal.
You know?
Crazy. Imagine being that age and just at that level, like... Like so sought after at the age of 18 is crazy. Like,
hey, I need you to play this Heisman winner.
Do your best job here, yeah. Jeez, we're talking for an hour. We'll leave it at that. Anything else? No.
We'll just looking forward to this weekend's games.
Yeah. We'll make our predictions over the weekend and hopefully not do as shite as we did last week. But everybody did collectively shite.
Thank God we all did.
So it was all right. All right, we'll leave it at that. Yeah, just keep supporting us on the social media pages, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter to a lesser extent. And yeah, appreciate you listening to us on all the different podcast apps, Spotify, iTunes, and all those crazy fucking Android ones that I have no idea what they are. But I appreciate the support.
Is DraftKings doing anything good for the divisional rounds? Or
are
you just doing your pickings as well?
Yeah, just doing our pick'ems. They've got a few, I mentioned earlier on, there's a few, they've got a few $1 million contests. Ooh. First prize $1 million, yeah.
Worth a couple of dollars.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And actually, funny you mentioned that, I'm going to be doing a giveaway next week. It's a big, it's like a hamper of DraftKings stuff. But also, my friend Zach, at you know the Felt Fanatic, the vintage store, he's actually given $150, voucher to spend at a shop, and it's going to be a raffle.
He's near us, is
he? Salem, yeah. Salem. All the money is going to the Irish Cancer Society.
Oh, wow.
So it's going to be $10 entry. It's going to be about $300 worth of stuff, and all the money is going to go to the Irish Cancer Society. Awesome. So hopefully we'll raise a few £100 there. So thanks for mentioning that, because I totally fucking forgot to
chat about it. Sometimes I hear you at the start, sometimes yeah. I'm late, so I miss your start. So.
But yeah, no, I'm going to be posting up on the social media pages in the next few days about that. So make sure you enter, and let's raise a load of money for the Irish Cancer Society, because every little penny helps. And we'll leave it at that for episode 66 of Paddy Pigskin. Thanks very much for tuning in. Why are you looking at me? 66.
Is that all 66?
Yeah, but we did a few other ones, remember, that had
yeah.
like that they didn't have, they were like specials that didn't have numbers. Yeah. So
is this Sunday's number?
Sunday's number, yeah. Should have done the player dedication to Fergal O'Hanlon, because I know he loves when we use his government name. You ginger prick, you. Right, we'll leave it at that for this week's episode of Paddy Pigskin. Tune in next time, where, as always, we'll have less slant and more slantcha. Take care. Don't look at me strange, so I can't repeat what other rappers be saying. If you don't stand for something, you fall for anything. Harder than you think is a beautiful thing. Just don't care.